left straight off of a right hook, drops Anderson. And again, another left hook pops him and just shuts him down. I have never watched Khalil Rountree fight to such a high level.
I was very nervous to showcase the skills, but I'm glad they paid off.
Khalil Rountree Jr., ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. By the way, Matt and I were just talking before we started, and Matt just mentioned Fitness XR. I got to be honest, my shoulders were a little sore because I only do the boxing ones. I don't do the dance ones. I buy these boxing packages on this fucking Oculus Quest. And by the way, I told you I got the rubber sweat ones that I can take off so I'm not sweating into my foam face guard.
My wife got that. My wife.
She got the extra one, right? Dude.
She's downstairs right now doing that.
It's great. It's 21 minutes. I do the 21 minute high intensity one. And you are like, you know that dry feeling you get in your mouth? Like when it's like, it's almost like you're the top and lower part of your mouth feel like two bricks, like because you need a drink of water. 10 minutes in, I'm doing that. Like this fucking FitXR is great.
Jimmy, for the listeners, explain to them what exactly you're talking about. Because we explained this on the Quest.
You're right.
That's the VR.
Yep.
But what are Oculus we talking Quest. About?
Well, Matt told me that Mrs. Yes. Sarah was using this workout regimen in the Oculus Quest. And you said that she works up a real sweat. And again, I go and I work out, but I'm like, I don't do much cardio. So I'm like, fuck it. Let me look at it. And they got these boxing ones and it's like you're punching these balls and they're coming at you. And like one of them looks like a beach ball firing at you. And one of them looks like a sideways or upside down mushroom. And the little ray coming off the ball shows you, is it a hook or an uppercut or do you punch straight? And then you duck under these things to do squats. You move to the side when they come by on an angle. And I'm telling you, after 20 minutes, there's music. The music, you're almost punching to the music.
Yes. What music do you pick? Jimmy, you have to tape yourself doing it.
I will.
That has to be somewhere online.
I know.
Either you or Chip doing it. Somebody doing it.
Chip has a 40-minute VR with Darth Vader taped I'm ready to put up.
Oh, I'm going to get that. I'm going to get it today. Which one?
Vader Immortal. There's three of them. I don't like the other Star Wars one yet. It's boring. I'm just walking around a ship doing tasks. I'm like, what am I, a fucking
I'm with you. Day I'm laborer? With you on that. I don't like it. I don't like it. I fucking stopped playing it. I stopped playing that fucking Galaxy's Edge. I forgot what it was.
Yes.
But something Star Wars.
It's boring.
All right. We have an adult on the way, in the waiting room. Nice to meet you, Michael.
Yeah, nice to meet you, man. We were just
nice to meet you guys.
Just talking about Oculus Quest. Now, you're on the road. I mean, you know, playing Major League Baseball, you guys go on the road. So do you do anything like that in hotel rooms? Do you have any games or any of that stuff that you bring with you?
Any games?
Or anything. What do you do to kill time when you're gone?
Honestly, we play 162 games in 180-ish days. So, I mean, we're playing every day. So what I do to kill time is I sleep.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I legit, I'll sleep. Sometimes I won't get to bed until like 3 in the morning because, you know, I'm all jacked up on caffeine because I usually pitch at around 8:30, 9 p.m.,
right.
I come in later in a game and if I don't get in the game, I still have all that caffeine in my system. So sometimes I don't throw until like, or I don't go to sleep until like 3 a.m. and I'm not going to wake up until 1 or 2 p.m. and then just get up, get on the bus and go to the field.
Jimmy, I'm sorry. He missed. No. He didn't hear the whole question. He thinks that you said, does he play like baseball games in his spare time? He meant you play video games.
No video.
No, he knew what even, I meant.
Yeah, No, that was my answer. I mean, I'm telling
okay,
you.
Thank God.
I just try and sleep, man. Our bodies, I mean, obviously nothing compared to the sport of MMA, but, you know, our bodies just get worn down just through 6 months of playing every single day.
Sure.
You know, so you just get worn down. So for me, sleep is everything. Otherwise, I'm in a terrible mood all day at the field.
Well, I'm happy we clarified that, because what, you know what an asshole I would have felt like if this poor Michael thought that I was actually saying, do you guys do like pickup games or do you play sandlot ball?
I heard him say game, and he looked at you like you were nutty.
No, a ton of guys do play video games literally all day, all night. So, I mean, it is a common thing in baseball.
Did you watch it? I'm going to ask you about the Super Bowl just for a second, because what I was amazed at with Brady, besides the 43 years of age, is he's so disciplined with sleep. And you just mentioned going to sleep till 3. They said that he gets up at 5:30. He's fucking healthy and all this, you know, exercises with fans, but he goes to bed 8:30 at night. And I'm like, I don't know how an adult falls asleep at 8:30 at night, but I guess that's, he gets 9 hours. They said he loves to sleep.
Yeah. I legit went to bed at 8:30 last night. So, and that's more so because of my wife though. During the off season, it's my wife's sleeping schedule, but I get up at around, you know, 5:30 to get up and start my morning routine and going down to I live right here in Southern California. So we go down to the beach, me and a couple buddies, get a workout in, to start the day, get into the water and stuff like that. So
when do you go back to Cincinnati? Are you still with the Reds?
Still with the Reds, going into my 7th season with them. Spring training for us is in Arizona. So we go to spring training first for about a month and a half to get basically the team dialed in. We play games against everyone even then. So there's spring training in Arizona, and then there's 15 teams in Florida. So they all play each other. We all play each other to get ready for the actual season that starts in April.
Now, are you a closer? Are you middle relief, or are you a lefty or righty specialist?
So I've been a high leverage late inning reliever type pitcher, but this year I'm gonna start.
Okay.
So I'm gonna be a starting pitcher this year, and it'll be fun, man. It'll be a ton of fun. So I love. So for me, why I got into MMA and stuff was like, pitching, I've always been a position player, and I started pitching in college and in pro ball, and baseball is such a team sport, but pitching is like the one thing that's very like, no, it's me against this guy. You know what I'm saying? It's like the most individual part of the sport. And so like, there's just so many similarities, I think, with the mental aspects of being a pitcher and being a fighter. So that's where I've gotten into, you know, MMA and just listening to guys, you know, talk about what was going on in their mind, their process, you know, before the fight, leading up to the fight, the walkout, what they like to feel, all that stuff, man. And so that's where, you know, I'm kind of a nut when it comes to that.
How long have you been watching MMA for?
I got into it. So I have three older brothers. So I got into it, you know, with, you know, Chuck Liddell and Tito Ortiz, all of them. And then I took a little bit of a break. And then it was when really like I went through some stuff my rookie year in the big leagues, mentally, just like it was tough to compete at that high level with all that pressure, deal with failure, all that stuff. Right. And then Conor McGregor pops up in the scene and it's just this animal, and it's super transparent about the way he thinks and his process and like his visualization stuff and, you know, seeing it. And it was incredible the stuff that he puts out there when it comes to being transparent to what he's thinking and what's going on in his mind. So I kind of hopped back on there, and then, you know, listening to, you know, Dustin Poirier talk about his loss to Conor and what he learned from that loss, and listening to, you know, Cowboy Cerrone talk about, you know, his fight against Conor and sometimes how he hates the walkout. And just so I feel more attached to these fighters when it comes to like what's going on in their minds as they're getting ready to fight.
I've always wondered too, like when I watch relief pitching, I always think that the amount of pressure on you guys is incredible, because you're not coming in, like if the starting pitcher gets a clean slate, you know, you're coming in, you know, with runners on second and third and no outs in the seventh, you know, and if God forbid you give something up, the fans are like, you suck. Do you ever under those pressure situations, like I know how I fold completely when, like when you're ever warming up in the bullpen, do you ever go like, oh fuck, I hope that they don't have to bring me in? Or do you always want to go in?
So I always want to go in, but the heart is pumping like crazy. The adrenaline's flowing usually. I've been able to flip it in my mind. And that's from listening to guys who fight and just their perspective of like, more so enjoy the challenge. It's like a challenge and enjoy it. See how well you can do, and the bigger the situation is. And so it's almost turns into a little game within my own mind of like, okay, pitching in the playoffs, coming in, you know, first time we've been in the playoffs for 3 years or 4 years last year, maybe 6 years, actually, first time we've been in the playoffs for 6 years. And I'm coming in extra innings, you know, so if I give up a run, we lose the game, our first playoff game in 6 years. And it's like, you know, the heart's racing, but it's like, man, how much fun can I, let's challenge myself and see how much fun I could actually have out there and like leave it out there. And like, if I give it up, I give it up, but let's have some fun, you know?
That's a great mindset.
Yeah.
Now, you're a huge Connor fan. What if in your, you're the matchmaker, right? What would you, who would you love to see him face next after, you know, what just happened with Dustin?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing Dustin again. And then,
what'd you think of it?
Oh man. So first off, I totally respect the art and what goes into mixed martial arts. So I'm not going to be a guy who's trying to tell them how to fight or anything like that. So I'm just going to, but anyway, what I saw from it was like, it seemed, what I liked about Connor is he's super unpredictable. Like he's throwing shots that, you know, are unexpected from different ways. And it looked like he went into just box a little bit. And it seemed like Dustin was just taking advantage of the leg, front leg, because Connor was just boxing. And so that's kind of what I saw. But obviously I wanted Connor to win, but if there's anyone to beat Connor, Dustin is, you know, I love that guy and just the way he talks about his mind, his mindset and everything as well. So that's kind of what I thought. But I would also like to see the Nate Diaz, the trilogy there, because Nate's an animal too. He's one of my favorites.
You know, it's funny, man, because I've wanted to see, Matt knows this, I've been babbling for 3 years now, wanting to see him against Gaethje. And yet then somebody pointed out what an ass I am, because if you think Poirier's leg kicks were bad, I mean, Gaethje's just going to chop his legs worse. That's a bad fight for Connor, I think.
Yeah, I think, I mean, Connor even said it, I think Connor said it right. You know, he said, I'm not going to make an excuse, but he said, I have the tools in the kit to like, in the bag to win that fight. I just brought the wrong tools to the fight. And I fully agree with that. I think Connor does have an answer for those leg kicks. I just thought that he kind of was like he was really into his leg, like foundation, big time into his legs, that whole fight, you know, sitting into his punches. And he's usually, you know, throwing knees and kicks and different things like that, that I loved about him, and moving around a lot more, a little more bouncy, you know, lighter on his feet a little bit. So that's all I'm going to give. I don't need to be giving anyone any fighting advice, because that's not.
Yeah, listen, you're a fan and you're a professional athlete. There was a couple of clean shots that in his pictures, there's a picture of one of them that Connor did land.
Yeah.
Where if that put out Dustin, and this is a guy that he touched before and put him out. Since then, look what he did to Eddie Alvarez, you know what I mean, who had a battle with Dustin.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like you get to believing you touch somebody, they're going to sleep. So if that put him to sleep, you know, they would have been building a statue of him right now. But it didn't, and it makes everything just, you know, makes it exciting. You got to look at it like that, because, you know, it's not about never falling. It's about, you know, what happens when you do fall. Do you get up, or do you just disappear in your yacht? It's exciting.
Yeah. I agree. And he's one guy, like his first loss that he took to Nate, like you wouldn't expect someone with his mentality to kind of take that loss that way. Right. And then going into his next fight about Nate, one of my favorite things about Connor, what he did with that second fight against Nate, and it shows you where his mind is and just how like, on another level he is than everyone else when it comes to up here and how this works, was it's like basically he lost in baseball perspective. He just lost a game of the World Series. He told everyone he was going to, you know, he's going to throw a no hitter. He was going to do all this stuff. And he got dominated, right? Like he got knocked out of the game in the first inning. And then the next game comes around and he's still talking, you know, he's still like, to where any other athlete would be like, you know what? I need to just chill. Yeah. I need to just go out, think about fighting, and that's it. He's still talking, saying, I'm going to win this fight. Da, da, da. And when he walked to the octagon, and I told myself, I was like, if he does the billion-dollar strut, he's an animal. You know, his little walk.
Yeah.
And it's like the first fight, he lost. He comes in the octagon, he's doing this stuff, and he lost. Well, his second fight against Nate, he walks into the octagon and just goes for it. Does the billion-dollar strut. I'm like, dude, he's coming off of a loss. And if he loses this fight, like,
yep. –
he's done, you know, but he still just doesn't even care. He doesn't feel that type of pressure that most people do. And I think that's why he's at that the level that he is, because he's just, when he did that and then still came out and won that fight, it was like, this guy's on like MJ level in my mind.
Well, it was after that loss, that first loss with me. I was never a Conor fan, but I really liked how he handled the loss. I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh yeah, okay. I just respected the way he spoke about it. He goes, hey, he was the better man. And it's funny, after this loss to Poirier too, Matt was mentioning, would he be on a yacht? And it's an interesting question, but I also like how he handled this. He's like, inactivity will kill you. You got to take your lift. But you could see it really fucking bothered him.
It bothered him.
Like, he didn't just go like, all right, that's it. Like, it really bothered him that he lost that fight. Yeah. It really bothered him. So I think he'll fight again. I don't want to see a trilogy with either of those guys unless it's down the road. I would rather see him fight Ferguson or Justin or somebody else.
Oh, time is now to fight Nate Diaz. Time is now.
Just as a fan, though, I like seeing there's matchups that I want that I haven't seen. I get the attraction to that. But I don't really care as much about that as I do. I mean, if it happens, I'll love it. But I want to see him fight guys I've never seen him fight. I always like matchups with guys I haven't seen before.
Okay. Agree to disagree.
Yeah. I mean, and to be honest with you, you'll probably get the trilogy with Nate. That will probably be the next thing. I don't know what weight they'll do it at. We'll see how either one of them.
Yeah, that's interesting.
155 or 170.
Michael, did you watch the fights over the weekend?
I wasn't able to. I saw a couple highlights, but I wasn't able to.
All right.
Yeah, but I saw a couple of the highlights.
Now, we have Kamaru Usman's going to be, defending the belt against Gilbert Burns, and that's a very exciting matchup. Do you have any thoughts on that one?
Usman's a beast, man. He's built different, that's for sure, So.
Yeah. Gilbert's looking just on point lately everywhere. Bad position, surviving, like, if he could have Damian Maia on his back and have the presence of mind to look to match him in jiu-jitsu long enough to get a scramble back to his feet and then knock him out. I mean, he's just looking, look what he did with Tyron Woodley. I mean, he's just looking like a beast. Total beast, Jimmy.
You're right.
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
Sick fight, man.
And did you see the Frankie Edgar? We love Frankie Edgar so much. He's a friend of the show.
He's the man.
But that fight with Corey, I mean, again, Sanhagen, his time is now. And after that tough loss to Aljo, I mean, these two, Marlon Moraes and then Frankie Edgar, just two murderers. And he knocks him out. And I think it was the second fastest, knockout with a knee after Masvidal over Ben Askren. Yeah. Incredible. I don't know if you saw Edgar's knockout, but it was sad because I love Frankie Edgar, but it was great for Corey.
Yeah. Yeah, Frankie's like one of those, he's a grinder, man, and he's done well for the sport, and he's a guy that you want representing your sport if you're Dana and, just with class and just the way he handles everything, man. He's definitely up there with when it comes to getting respect from everyone.
Yeah, I mean, I hated to see him lose that way. I didn't mind seeing a guy lose, but you don't want to see a guy lose where you're like, fuck, did he just get really hurt? And you can only take so many knockouts. It starts to really wear on you. It starts to really be dangerous after a few concussions or knockouts.
Yeah, that's the main difference from our sports. If I lose, I'll be fine the next day. I'm gonna wake up fine. I'm not waking up in a hospital or anything like that. And that's where like the respect factor when it comes into what these fighters go through, even just sparring and training. Like I've been going to the Ruka gym here in Costa Mesa where Jason Perillo is running. And so I've been training there with him, just doing some privates and stuff like that. But like Chito Vera is always in there and Luke Rockhold, all these guys are in there training all the time and getting after it. And it's fun to watch, but man, just seeing what goes into it each and every day, it's like, it's a completely different world. And I totally respect it. It's the respect is here when it comes to that stuff.
Yeah. And have you, you guys do have injuries that you get, shoulder surgery, all that stuff. Have you had anything, by the way, to totally digress, how the fuck is Jim Abbott not in the Hall of Fame? Okay. Matt, if you don't know Jim Abbott, he was a pitcher for the Yankees and he pitched, I think, for the Angels, and he had one hand.
Yeah.
And he had like a stump and he would hold the glove on the stump of his one hand,
yeah,
pitch, put the take the glove after he threw the ball under his armpit and then feel.
Throw it on his hand, yeah.
It's crazy. Like, it's the most athletic thing anybody's ever done. And I don't care what his ERA is. I don't give a fuck. How is he not in the Hall of Fame just for pitching a no-hitter like that? It's crazy.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Was he born
that way? Yeah, he was born that way. Yeah,
he was born that way. So I heard he's an insane golfer too. So
really,
but yeah, it's pretty incredible what he was able to do, right?
Yeah, the dexterity to pull that off, to watch him, Matt. If you ever watch him, the way he literally is able to field a ground ball with one hand and put the glove under his arm, take the thing. It's crazy.
Juan Jock Machado of baseball.
He was.
Does anybody know John Jock Machado? Did I shame you both? The famous Machado brothers? Well, John Jock has one hand and the other hand's a little, it's like the little deformed, like it's a thumb. And he can make like a little grip. I knew he could grip the gi, but all right, let's get back to Michael. So what else? Wait, what about Aljamain Sterling versus Peter Yan? What do you feel about that?
You guys tell me, what do you guys got on that?
I'm going to guess, Matt, we love Aljo, so we're very, very biased. Pedion is very tough, but I think Aljo is going to win that fight. And I don't think it's going to go very long. I think he's just too dangerous on the ground. And I think Aljo will find a way to use his length and get in there. And I think Aljo will find a way to get on his back. He's looked too good lately. And the fact that he did it to Corey Sanhagen I think Aljo wins that fight within two rounds.
Me too. Aljo.
Two rounds.
I think so. And it's not to disrespect Petr Yan. Petr Yan is fucking great. Yeah. But yeah. I just think that Aljamain is going to find a way to get on his back. I think Aljamain is going to find a way to get in, and he's just so dangerous on the back.
Man, I love the game plan, and I love the matchups. I love, there's so many different correlations when it comes to, like, the fighting and pitching and hitting. You know, who matches up well against who. And I love seeing the game plan unfold as the fight is going on of like, this is what they're going to do.
Right.
This is why they're going to do it. This is what he's been training, obviously to defend the takedown, all this stuff like that. And it's like, you watch it all unfold and it's just this, who can problem solve the fastest. It's pretty neat.
Yeah. And that was an interesting point to say pitching is the most one-on-one aspect of baseball. I mean, you can wave the catcher off. He can ask for 10 different things and you can go, no, it really is you versus the hitter. And I guess that's a good way to, is there anybody in baseball? Like I haven't watched baseball in a long time. I was a Yankee fan most of my life. I grew up in New Jersey and there were certain players that would fucking murder the Yankee, like certain people like Randy Johnson. I don't care if he pitched it. I will always hate him because he destroyed the Yankees with the Mariners and then with the Arizona Diamondbacks. Is there anybody?
I mean, he was a Yankee though.
He was, and I still don't forgive him. So was A-Rod. But he still murdered the Yankees when he was with the Mariners. He'll never be forgiven.
Okay.
So is there anybody you face regularly? Like, I don't know if you remember Geronimo Baroa. He was playing for the Oakland A's, would destroy the fucking Yankees. Is there anybody you face who literally, no matter what you've done against him, he literally just has your number?
Yeah. So there is this... I'll name it Anthony Rizzo with the Cubs. He's one of the hardest guys for me to get out generally. So he's a bigger guy, big first baseman. And until I get two strikes, he's swinging for the fence. And he's gotten me a couple times. He's clipped me a couple times. But then once, you get two strikes on him, it's like he's able to hit the ball at his eyes for a base hit or down that's bouncing for a base hit. So he adjusts. He makes an adjustment. He's like, all right, until two strikes, I'm going for it. Once I get to two strikes, I'm like cutting down and I'm just going to get on base however I can. And he's really good at just putting the bat on the ball. It's like a guy who's really good at just finding the chin, he's just really, really good at it. And, he picks his spots. He's like, his baseball IQ is up there. So it's like fighting a guy who's got high IQ, knows when to throw the big shots, knows when to, just play around and then set up the big shots. That's kind of who he is. And it's pretty impressive.
Michael, did anybody ever storm the mound? What do they call that shit?
Oh, charge the mound. Yeah.
Charge the mound.
Did they ever attack you? Like, you ever, like, by accidentally or maybe not little slip of the fingers and you get somebody in their ass and all of a sudden they're throwing it. I don't watch baseball that much, but that I'll watch that. I'm like, oh, they're clearing the benches.
Yeah, so no one's ever charged me, but man, I have a teammate who Amir Garrett, who's a beast. I mean, he played basketball at where did he play basketball? He played college basketball, St. Mary's. And but this guy's a super, super athlete. And the Pirates were us and the Pirates had this thing back in 2019. And they were, you know, they hit someone on purpose, so we hit one of their guys on purpose, and then he comes into the game and they're chirping at him. And he if you go look at the highlights, he runs at the dugout. So it's one against, you know, 25 guys. And that's just his mind. His mind is just like, I don't care what's going on. I don't care who you are. I don't care if there's 25 of you. And you watch them sprint at their dugout. And that was wild. That might be the first time one guy sprinted at another entire team to take them all on.
It would have been funny if a guy does that and then his whole team just sits there and watches the other team beat the shit. Hey, we're not getting in trouble. So when you have to throw it another pitcher, because it does happen, like a guy gets hit, and I think sometimes they'll let it go. If they think a guy is coming in too close, I think it really depends if they know one just got away. But a lot of times if you hit a batter, someone is going to throw one of your batters. And if it's very obvious, the umpire will throw him out of the game. Do you hate that when you have to come in and you know, like, fuck, I'm obligated now. I gotta throw at somebody.
There's a right way to do it and there's a wrong way to do it. So if you're coming in and you got to throw at someone or the situation calls for it, you know, we say just do it, you know, basically below the belt. Like hit him in the leg. And there's sometimes where guys come in and, you know, it let it go. And it's hard enough. Like I've had to do it before and it's like, man, I gotta get it, try and get in that one spot. And I've thrown it behind a guy before and missed them. And it's like, well, I missed my shot there, but you know, I went for it and that happens. But some guys will kind of go anything this and up. It's like even both sides are like, that's not the right way to handle it. You know, just cause the hitter's defenseless. And so we're not trying to hurt anybody. We're just trying to send a message like, hey, you know, we got it too. And that's it. And it's kind of leaving the game of baseball. They're starting to suspend guys for it a lot more. And so I think they're trying to get that out of the game of baseball.
Yeah. But why don't, this is what I understand too. A lot of times a pitcher will hit a batter and basically the pitcher will turn away and face and walk towards the outfield. And sometimes, you know, it's accidental. Like, so how come the pitchers don't just go, oh, hey man, sorry about that. Is it because there's going to be times you're throwing intentionally? I never understood why the pitcher doesn't just go, fuck dude, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hit you.
I think it's more of, I think their own teammates and their own coaches are like, bro, don't say sorry to anyone. You know, I think more so of that, of like, our coaches don't want us apologizing for hitting anyone. It's like, I'm playing the game. I didn't mean to hit you. It's part of the game. Get over it and take your base.
Okay. It's war, Jimmy.
Yeah,
it's
I guess war. So.
You got a man up.
Yeah, I guess so.
I'm sorry. No, man. His friends won't even look at him.
Yeah.
He gets towards that mound. They'll let him get beat up.
Yeah. Matt, I happened to play baseball when I was younger, and I had a good arm from the outfield, so they thought I could pitch. And then you ever see what a merry-go-round looks like? That's what it looked like when I pitched, but they were just being walked first to second. When you start walking runs in, it's really embarrassing when you're walking runs. You ever walk a run in? That's humiliating.
I think I have. There's times where you throw like seven straight balls and then you throw one strike and the whole crowd goes crazy.
Yeah, sarcastically.
Oh, yeah, I think every pitcher has gone through that once or twice.
We just can't find the plate. And then you wind up throwing a fastball over the plate and they fucking hit a 3-run home run because it's perfect.
Yeah, so that's happened to me too, where I've literally said, just let him hit it, you know, just let him hit it. And I throw it and he hits it and he didn't hit it where I wanted him to hit it. But, you know, not good. But
I guess you have kids.
No kids. Not yet. I think maybe a year or two.
Yeah, that's good. All right. There's a kids movie called Chicken Little. And you're talking about Jimmy playing baseball, this little bird in the thing with the bat. Jimmy. You got to Google that later, Jimmy. It reminds me of you, but anyway, that's neither here nor there.
This is how shit a player I was. You're not off. It was the championship. I was like 13. We were losing like 12 or 13 to one. There was a runner on first. It was the ninth inning, one out. And I'm standing up there and I was awful. And with one out, they decided to try to steal second because they knew that I was going to strike out or hit into a double play. And I wound up losing the ending the championship on a strikeout, throw him out, double play as they predicted. I was an awful baseball player. Awful.
Hey, Michael, just to defend my little Jimmy Bird, just so you don't lose all respect for him. Just it goes back to our first question. He was in the local paper for he won an Asteroids, the game Asteroids.
I just played it very well. It was 81. Really? It was the Battle of the 49ers and the Bengals, 1981. Montana, of course, a classic Joe Montana performance. And I was playing Asteroids, yeah. And I looked like Adrian from Rocky with my fucking hat and glasses. It was really hideous. All right, Michael, listen, do you have a podcast or anything you're promoting? We'd love to have you back on sometime. It's great to talk to someone in another sport who loves MMA so much.
Yeah, no podcast for me. I just thank you guys for having me on.
Yeah, of course.
I love the sport. I'm training. You know, I just love getting in a different thing. Like I said, listening to guys talk about their mental process and training at Ruka and with Jason and listening to them talk about it all. So, you know, I really respect, you know, what you guys are doing and what these fighters have to go through to perform at an elite level. So it's thank you for allowing me to be a part of this.
Of course. And if you see Jason, tell him Matt and Jim say hello. We love Jason.
We'll do. We'll do, guys.
Okay, buddy. Good talking to you. We'll talk to you again.
All right.
Take care. Bye, Michael.
You think you know Rose Namajunas? Rose lost her first title fight. Flat out lost. Right then and there, she made a decision to stop just fighting and start believing she would become a champion. And look who's number one now. Guaranteed Rate is a mortgage lender who understands the power of belief. Because if you believe, you will.
Equal housing lender. Subject to credit approval. Restrictions apply. Company NMLS ID 2611. NMLSConsumerAccess.org.
I was on the wrong link, man, the old link. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. We were talking. We got started a few minutes late, and we were just talking to a pitcher from the Cincinnati Reds who's a big MMA fan. Did you ever play any other sports?
I dabbled in a little bit of baseball at a very young age. In high school, I made the volleyball team, but my grades were terrible, so I never got to play. And that's about it.
Volleyball. Wow. Yeah.
You seem very bright. Why was your grades bad?
Man, I've always been the type of guy that's like, I would go to school. I understand everything. I love learning, but I'm such a dreamer and like an imagination guy that like, I would just get lost in like drawing or taking notes. And then I'd just like turn the book and then like start writing like a story or something. Like, I just could never really like truly engage and truly focus. So like I knew everything and I graduated high school, everything, but it was just so hard for me to like pay attention to like like education stuff. I was always just lost in this like artistic world. Yeah.
Are you a little ADD? I know I have that too, where I have to be doing a couple of things at once to focus myself. Are you like that?
No, it's just more like I just love to get lost in like the creative side of things. So like, once I get hit like this, like creative, like feeling that I just like, I dive into like, you know, drawing or music or something that just allows me to like outlet, you know, like this like art side that I have, I guess.
And I remember the last time you lost a ton of weight doing the jiu-jitsu. I love jiu-jitsu. Doing the Muay Thai.
Yeah.
How much weight again? I'm sorry. How much weight?
I lost 100, like a little under 105 pounds. So 100 pounds, yeah, in 11 months.
What was the main method of doing that?
I'd say like a mixture of training Muay Thai and then just doing some type of like cardio every day, whether it was like jump roping, like I'd put on a good pair of headphones, drink a bunch of coffee, and then just like jump rope to my favorite album and just like try to keep the rhythm to each song, you know, like it became like a thing that I became like addicted to almost, because it was like, you know, like flow state, right? Just like my favorite album, or if it's like a metal album or something, you know, like there's an old band I used to listen to called Sleeping Giant, and I would just like jump rope, just like the whole album, you know, and then it was like, all right, cool. I felt like I got like some aggression, some cardio, like everything was good, and that became like an addiction. And so like,
yeah,
the weight just started dropping off.
Are you a good jump roper?
I'm getting a lot better. Yeah. Whenever I start practicing, it gets a lot better. Yeah. I feel like I jump roped a lot for this camp, so I'm comfortable right now.
I'm awful at it. Matt, are you good at that? I used to be able to do it for a minute, but I literally after three rotations, I'm finished. I suck at it. It's really hard.
I love jump roping when I was younger. I used to do it all the time at Longo's. And then one time I did it so much that I developed such bad shin splints. And I'm like, what? I can't do it. I'm like, what is going on? I'm sure you got those before, no?
Yeah. And then I have like, my knees are always like achy. So sometimes, but with the, I don't know, you find it like, I got a good pair of boxing boots and that helps a lot, man. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Now boxing boots, I guess, you know, it's funny. I never thought in terms of boxing boots, and really they do wear much higher. What is the difference between a boxing boot and a regular? Is it just a better support for the legs?
It keeps your foot flat, right? So there's not like a lot of cushion, but there's enough, like there's enough rubber and padding to where like you can almost be barefoot, you know what I mean? But like, so it's not like overly cushioned and it's not like extremely hard. There's like a good balance. And for me, that helps, like helps keep my, like my feet kind of compressed together instead of like hitting my toes and like all that stuff. It just, I guess it's a little bit more comfortable for me to have like a flat soled shoe, like a boxing boot.
Go ahead, Jimmy. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to bring up, you were just in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
You come off a decision loss to Marcin. It was your first time fighting in a little while, right? Since 2019.
A little over a year. Yeah.
And why the inactivity was,
you know what, man, like, there was just a part after the loss in Copenhagen. I really trained hard for that fight. Like I trained really hard and I thought I did everything that I was supposed to do, which I still back that, like I did. And to come out of that fight with a loss, and also like in that fight, the first kick that I threw as hard as I could, and he tried to catch it and it landed, but he tried to catch it and I tried to pull it away. And I pulled my hamstring and my leg was on fire after that. Like in my mind, I'm just like, oh, like, I don't know what to do now. You know, like,
I know,
my,
it's
like yeah, my yeah. stability, my balance, my shotgun, like it's fucking gone. You know, like that's how I felt. And so I just started swinging and whatever, got TKO'd. And it just like, it really like fucked me up because I'm like, all that training, everything I did, and for something like that to happen, it just like, I don't know, it crushed me. And I didn't want to lose, especially to him. I just felt like I knew I could beat that guy. I knew I was prepared. But once my weapon was gone, like my mind was gone. And so.
Who was that to again? I'm sorry. Who was that to again? It was
Ian Kudalaba.
Yeah, Kudalaba.
Yes, okay. The famous weigh-in.
Yeah. I hate the video. It gets like replayed all the time. I don't know why I hate it, but
you hate it.
Huh? Yeah, I don't know. I think it's because I lost. Like, I really wanted to win that fight. You know, like that would have been the perfect ending for me, just for that fight, not for anything else. Like gaining in the rankings or anything in the UFC. Right. Just like personally, you know, like we all, you know, Matt. Like when you fight, there's just like a personal. I needed that win. I needed it. And so after I lost, man, I just like. I felt like shit. And I was like, I think I'm done with this. And internally, I really felt like I just didn't really want to be around anymore.
Jimmy, at that weigh-in, I don't know if you remember it. Jimmy.
I don't remember the weigh-in.
Kudalaba is very animated. I don't think it's anything personal. He's the guy who he walks across the cage and he does the thing in the face.
Like JDS used to do that. Yeah.
No, he's not. No, worse than that, though. He gets right up the grill. And at the way, they're like total polar opposites, at least from looking from the outside, because Khalil's very zen-like. I could picture him crossing his legs under a waterfall. Like, you know what I mean? He's that guy. I might be
holding that
guy, you know, playing the guitar or something. I could see him doing that. And the other guy, you could see him just like murdering things. He's just like more of like a barbarian. So So at the weigh-in, he went up in his face and he screamed. And I think it took you by surprise. So you like went back, but you handled it like so cool. Yeah. You were just like, oh, really? And just kind of like smiled. So I understand about how you feel and everything you just spoke about, though.
Yeah. That was it. Like after that, I just kind of went through some stuff where I felt like I got matched with Sam Alvey. That was the last fight on my contract. And I was just like, okay, cool. I can do this. Like I can fight Sam Alvey. I believe I can win. And then I can just be done. And also like living in Thailand, I found this place where like I felt like I could really be and grow. And there were so many things that I wanted to learn about. And I started trying to understand a lot more of like the Buddhist culture, because most of the country has like Buddhist, you know, like outlook. And I loved how everyone there was really peaceful and happy. And they're like selling food on the side of the road, but they're happy about life, you know? And like, I saw a different way of living and I'm like, hey, I like this and I want to contribute and I want to be a part of it, you know? So I saw myself kind of just like being able to live a simple life and live a life from just like my heart and give to people around me in that community that I just felt for. So I was gonna like, I was looking at like going and living at a monastery for a while and like things like
wow.
that. There were things for my soul. You know what I mean? Like people hear about like when they hear my name or like John Anik mentioned in the fight, like about my father and being murdered when I was a kid and things like that. So like there's like soul healing stuff that like I want to deal with before I die. You know what I mean? So I was able to find places like that on that side of the world where I'm like, man, I want to be here for a while. I want to heal a little bit, you know? So I was like, I can't do the same. I can't fight and heal at the same time. Like I just right. couldn't find that balance. And then COVID hit and I'm just like, wow. Like I either find a way to train and make this all happen and really try to be the best that I can be in this sport, or I could try to be the happiest person that I can be before I die and just live from my heart, you know, like my heart space, and give and learn and heal and fix and like all of those things. So it was just like, I just didn't have the emotional or mental capacity to think about fighting in UFC and rankings and champions. I just didn't have it in my brain and in my heart at the time.
So you like, you said like being in a monastery or something. I don't know if you're married or anything, or if you have a family. Do you like just kind of being off by yourself? And you're comfortable just kind of thinking and being by yourself.
Yeah, man. I love like isolation and being in my own thoughts and like in my own mind and developing my own thoughts and imagination and like, you know, like just trying to fill my brain and my heart with as much like my own ideas and stuff as possible, you know, like especially in the day and age, like we have so much stuff and other people's ideas and the internet and everybody's thoughts and opinions on everything. And a lot of times I just like to be alone and kind of like create my own thoughts, not what everybody thinks about me. So yeah.
Yeah.
Where's your head now as far as fighting? And
I just landed back in USA. And so with all of that and with deciding to continue to fight, now my goal is to find I really want a connection in a coach and a team. Like I have friends and family that believe in me, right? And they're like, yeah. You can be this, you can be great, you can be a champion. Okay, I feel that. And now I want almost like a team, man, like a support system. Like, let's fucking go do it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm here. It's not like you can train here, this camp, and you know, like gym politics, man, but it's like, I want a team. I want like a good coach, you know, some good training partners, and let's just fucking do it. I'll give my best shot to go after whatever I got to do. I just need support. Like, I really just need support and like a fucking team. Like, let's go. Let's go. You know,
where you want to live? So, are you have any preference where you want to go? Or are you just like, look,
I'm back in the States. I'd love to stay here in Vegas because my family's here. The PI is here. I love the people there. I love the whole system they have going on. I'd love to stay here in Vegas. So I've talked to some old coaches, things like that. So I got a little bit of time to figure out, you know, who, like where I'm going to go before I fight again. And that'll be soon. I'll fight again really
yeah,
sick.
It's like a relationship. That's awesome that you want to fight again. Because I mean,
yeah,
I don't want to say it's a shame if you don't, because it's your life and your health. But man, you're in these fights that you're losing. That total. Now that I heard about the hamstring with the other fight, again, I know you never want to make an excuse, but shit, man, I've been there, so I know what you. I know where you're coming from.
Yeah, I love to put on exciting fights. Like, I really do. Like, I know that I can go in there and put on these fights. You know, watching the fight against Marcin, I think I sorry if I pronounce it wrong, but there was something that I felt like was really cool, and that was like when his coaches were like, where's that fire? You know, like, you need this round. Like, I think that helped, especially for round three. You know what I mean? Like, they were like bringing it out of him. They were like, you know what? Like, you got to fucking pull it out right now. Scream. And he's like, ah, and he screamed and he came out and he had a bit more energy, a bit more like grind for that third right. round. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah. And so like, I think that's a lot of just like relationship with who you have in your corner, things like that. You know, because it's good to have technical side. It's also really good to have someone who, you know, can slap you in the face and tell you fucking go in there and win this last round. Sometimes we need that. You get me?
Yeah.
And I know that for me, like after not fighting for a while and going back in there, once I passed the first round, I was like, all right, cool. I'm here. Like, I'm like, we're out of the first round. Now, like, I'm going to make sure that I win safely.
Yeah.
You know, like the dude hits hard and people heard how those fucking punches were cracking. Like, I rewatched it and they were loud punches, man. So like, he did hit hard. He did have power. And so do I. So I made sure that I left there safe without getting knocked out and with trying to do as much as I could to secure the win. Mm-hmm. So like,
good fight.
Yeah. I really did my best. And so that was good to shake the cobwebs off. Next one. From here on out, like, my goal is to like never go to another decision again. Obviously shit happens, but like, that's my goal. Like, I don't want to be in that situation anymore to where like, I don't know if I did enough to win or lose. It's like, you either knock me out or I'm going to knock, like, there's only knockouts from now on. That's how I feel. Like,
you want a decisive, you want to know, you don't want no doubt, you know,
everybody who else, like whoever I fight from here on out, like, I just want them to go to sleep. That's it. So whatever I got to do to make sure that those numbers rise and that, you know, that the chances rise, then I'll do it in camp to make sure that that's what happens.
And you were in you played music before you were fighting, I guess. Yeah. What kind of band were you in? What did you do?
I've been in a couple hardcore bands, been in a couple like metalcore bands.
Do you sing or do you play?
I played bass. I played drums. I played guitar, rhythm guitar. I'm not too good at lead because like really big hands and like, it's just, I don't move them too quick, but bass is easy and rhythms, it's pretty simple. So, drums was my first instrument, and but I've dabbled in many genres, man. Like,
bass is the smartest the instrument because every fucking band needs a bass player. So when you're a good bass player, you'll be able to play for the rest of your life. You'll always be able to find a good home.
Yeah, and it's I love bass because it's like you kind of can keep the groove of, you know, of the music, whether it's metal or, you know, jazz. It's like it still keeps the grooviness.
Did you have a teacher or did you just?
Everything was learned just like self-taught. I would put on like headphones and then turn my little amp on and then just try to match the sounds until I can fully play it.
See, that's the difference here, Jimmy, between me and Khalil. Give me a guitar and let me listen to music. Dude, I might as well just break that thing over my knee because I'm not, I would be like a 3-year-old on that thing. I'm not going to make that connection. That's something I don't know who Jimmy is, but then, I mean, the best thing is like you just named like five instruments you play. He's like, this one's a little easier than that one. And dude, I'll be lucky if I could do the fucking the tambourine. That'll be me, like the Partridge Family, the lady. I can't do nothing like that. Very impressive.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, that was my thing always, just like kind of like music and the arts, drawing. You know, storytelling, poetry, just all that stuff.
I normally ask people what they're watching. I don't even think you own a television. Do you watch anything on the, do you stream anything, or are you just?
Yeah. I love Netflix shows and things like that. Yeah, for sure.
Talk to me. Now you're speaking my simple language. What are you?
I don't know. Let's see if I got anything that you would like. I just finished. Let's see. I'm going to go recently, 'cause I've just been like quarantined. So let's go with, have you seen Midsommar on Amazon?
The movie?
Yeah.
I did see the movie. Yeah.
Ridiculous. It was,
that one was decent. Ridiculous. I liked it, but it was a little long for my taste and weird. But I thought it was well shot. Like, I liked it. I enjoyed it, but I didn't love it. Yeah.
There's like that. When I was in Thailand, there was a show called Billions on Netflix. That was
Sure.
That one's good. I can't find it now in Vegas. I don't know why. That's really weird.
It's a Showtime show, isn't it? Isn't Billions, I should know, a friend of mine's in it. I think it's a Showtime show.
Oh, I saw it on Netflix in Thailand, but I'll look it up on Showtime.
Yeah.
There's always different things wherever you travel, man.
Yeah.
That's how I got into Vikings. I was in Abu Dhabi and I binged it. They don't have it over here on
Yeah, I haven't seen Vikings in years. I started it a long time ago when it first started, but I stopped around like the third season, so I probably got to dive back into that. Ooh. Animal Kingdom. Have you seen Animal Kingdom?
No, what's that?
Oh, you guys are crazy. So there's this family. There's a mom and she has three sons and a nephew, and they're all like almost like robbers. Like they do jobs. So they're like, they'll go and like steal paintings and then like sell them to, you know, to a bid or something. I don't know. It's like they're involved in crime, like organized crime. Okay. But it's just like a really weird, like tight knit family. And they live in California. Just watch the trailer, Animal Kingdom. Just watch the trailer. It's so hard to describe, but it's really good. It's like right up there with Ozark. If you've seen Ozark, I feel like Animal Kingdom has like a slight edge on Ozark.
All right. You know what? And where is this on? What is it on? Amazon Prime or?
It is on Amazon Prime, I believe. Yeah.
I'm going to watch that with my wife. I'm always looking to get some. You know what I started watching? Because I loved Breaking Bad. I'm starting to get into
Better Call Saul.
It's not that bad. I think it's
good.
Bad. Yeah. I never got into Breaking Bad, man. I can't get past the third season. I get like, I get like bored. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah.
I get like that with a lot of things.
Yeah.
I barely got through Penny Dreadful, but I got through it. That was like about the monsters and shit.
I was watching a lot of like British shows, man. Like Gangs of London is really good. Peaky Blinders is amazing.
I'm getting into that now, Peaky Blinders.
I just hate the name Peaky Blinders so much. I think I started it. It was good, but I just hate the name of it. Is the show really good?
Oh, it's amazing. Okay. It's amazing. Amazing. That. Yeah.
It's fun to say.
Yeah. But look, Gangs of London on Amazon, you guys, I'm telling you, it's the craziest show. It's like London, like a London crime thing, almost like Peaky Blinders. It's in the UK, but back in the day. But now it's like Gangs of London is like 2020. They just made it. And it's like a very recent, like new Gangs of London and how they like operate. It's sick. It's
super now. It's not about like back in the day stuff. It's about
It's about like current. Like,
I'd see that.
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
Is there anything worse than looking for a show? Like when you hear like someone recommends a show and you're like, is it on Disney streaming? Is it on Amazon? Is it on Hulu? Like there's so many crazy places to find. It's hard to find. It's hard to track everything you want to watch.
It's crazy, man. It's so crazy.
The more options, the better.
So Khalil, do you have anybody in your sights now? Do you have any, what is the game plan now that you're back in Vegas and what does the next couple of months look like for you?
Okay, so I've spoken with my manager who has reached out to the UFC and said, like, hey, I'm ready to get back in there within the next few months. So the goal now is to I'm going to go get set up at the PI and start getting strong and get everything checked out with those guys, get my nutrition back in track, everything like that. And just find a gym and some coaches and sit down and say, this is my goal for the next year. And can you help me get there? And can we help each other get there and see if everybody's in line, like, you know, on the same page, and then go after the 205 division.
What about the syndicate with
John. Yeah, that's where I started. So me and John have like a really good relationship, and we talked a bit in Abu Dhabi, and we talked a bit via text here. So that could be a very like strong possibility of like working with John again, or I could even like, you know, depending on the situation in Thailand, George, my old coach, or my coach that just coached me, George Hickman from Tiger, even trying to get like him or his brother out here to Vegas for a camp or something, you know.
Interesting.
I'm going to really try to figure out how to place it the right way, so I really have who I need with me during camp.
You're in the right spot, man. You're in the hub of mixed martial arts right there. You're in Vegas.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure if they know you're out there now, the word will be out there, and you're such a likable guy. I'm sure they'll be like, come here, hang out with us.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about chemistry. It's like a relationship, like any other relationship.
Yeah, for sure. And I just want to make sure that, you know, I find a group of people who we agree that we're in this together, and we all have a very like, you know, like a good, not long-term, but long-term goal, you know, is the same, on the same page.
What do you think of the division now? I mean, with John gone and Blachowicz against Adesanya, what an interesting matchup. What do you think of that? I think that's I love Izzy, but I think that's a very tough fight for him.
I don't really know how to tell with most fighters, like which one's going to be a tough one or not, you know, like, I don't know that. I do think that what my thoughts and kind of concerns are is like, what happens if Izzy wins the belt? You know, what happens to the division? Like, does he stay at 205 now? And then, you know, and then now he's the champion, and then people get to fight Izzy. Like, I don't, it just kind of throws a mix into things, because he is a middleweight going for like, you know, the light heavyweight belt. So it's just weird. It's weird to look that far ahead right now. So I think stylistically, it'll be really interesting to see how Izzy does against Blachowicz. But I do really like, I love Izzy's style for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's and very when guys smart. Go, I think that he's very smart, like a very smart fighter.
Yeah, he is. I just keep thinking that Blachowicz is going to push him up against the cage and grind him if he can, and try to drag him down. But again, I guess it's easier said than done.
And also, like, the way that you see that is the way that coaches see things too, and fighters see things if they watch tape. So it's easy to see that and expect it, and then game plan against it. You know what I mean? So, like,
absolutely.
If you watch tape, you look at everyone's strengths and see, like, okay, like, what is it, or where do I see, you know, this can go wrong, or what's he got for me, you know, things like that. So, you know, that could be the plan, but then Izzy could have something very tricky to like capitalize off of that forward pressure.
Yeah. And he's fought strong guys before. I mean, obviously he's fought, I mean, Brunson, obviously Acosta, you know, so he's certainly not intimidated by somebody who's powerful or good on the ground.
He's accurate. He's very got footwork. And look how many kickboxing matches he's had, man. Like, he's seen, it's not like, I don't think, you know, Jan's going to throw something at him that he hasn't seen before.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Having said that, man, he eats one. You know, he could eat one, and he could hit him up with three, and he could eat one, and it could change everything. So it's exciting.
Yeah, like, especially in our division, you know, like one punch. I mean, in any division, right? One punch can really be the difference maker. Look at Connor and Dustin. You know, like, it was that one right hook, kind of like an overhand, boom, hit him right on the chin. That was the one that, like, you know, yeah, the calf kicks, all that stuff slowed him down, but it was that one punch that really threw everything, you know, makes everything up. So the same thing, the same thing could happen, you know, you start taking out a leg and then it sets up that one punch. You never know.
Yeah. And I bet, to answer your question, Mike, or your speculation, I would guess that he would stay at light heavyweight for a little while again, because hasn't he pretty much cleaned out the middleweight? Is there anybody there he hasn't really faced? It was like John kind of had a lot of success in the light heavyweight division, now decides to move to get other opponents that he hasn't had to deal with yet. So I think that Adesanya, if he wins, would stay there for a little while. That would be my guess.
Yeah, and that would be very very interesting to see, for sure.
Kilo, did you watch the fights over the weekend with Overeem and
Volkov? No, I wasn't able to. I don't have ESPN Plus yet.
You know what it is? There was a certain point where like Overeem is so used to, you know, he's done both forever, but mixed martial arts and kickboxing. But I'm not a huge fan. Like he kept putting his guard up like this, but it's so, it like when
Alexander Volkov,
was unloading on him, and he, as a defense, he was just putting his guard up. It's so easy to split with these 4 ounce gloves. Like he was getting punching through it. Like he was just punching through where, if you have the boxing glove, it does give you that extra protection in that.
Yeah,
in that
for sure.
What do you think of that? You got to see the fight.
Yeah, I'll watch it. I think it's a bad habit for a lot of us fighters to close up. One thing that my coach was trying to drill into me, and something that we learn a lot in Muay Thai, is long guard. And it's like one hand is up, one hand's long. So like you're able to block here, but this one keeps the range, you know, and you can use it, and you can you can pull down with it, you know, like you can block in an elbow. Like there's like the long guard is used a lot in Muay Thai. And we were trying to do that, but it just wasn't clicking. I didn't drill it enough, but something like that would definitely work for guys like Overeem against a guy like a Volkov.
Yeah. Fucking long guard, Jimmy.
Because you never want to, like, if you're going against a long guy and who has power at heavyweight, if you guard like this, you're still at the end of all of the punches. Right. Yes. So it's like, that's just like me telling you, like, hey, Matt, just stand like this. And just let me punch you. And you, if you can block it, block it.
I'm honest, Roundtree. I'm not.
It's the same thing, you know, like it's definitely the same thing. So I think, I think a long guard would definitely work. And that's something that I plan to drill a little bit more.
Yeah. And Volkov looked really good. I don't know why I was so stupid to underestimate his power. Like, what a duck. I had Overeem picked in that fight. Because I just think Overeem has looked so good in his last 5 fights. But Volkov looked really, he looked great. Like, you know, he's
going to want to get back at the Black Beast, man, because he was beating Derek Lewis.
Yeah, it happened last minute, right? I did watch that fight. It was like just the last few seconds or something like that.
Last few seconds. He hit him with a bomb, Jimmy. Yeah. He hit him with a bomb. You'll see, Jimmy. I see you looking it up.
No, I'm looking up Curtis Blaydes and Lewis. Isn't Derek fighting Curtis Blaydes? Are they?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
I wasn't.
Soon. That's an interesting fight.
Yeah, it sure is. It's February 20th. Oh, it's in a little less than 2 weeks. Oh, all right, Khalil. Well, look, you know, I love watching you fight, and I'm happy that you're back in town and you're looking for something. So I'm sure we'll talk to you again as soon as you have something lined up. But at least we would love to if you're willing.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I'll talk to you guys again for sure.
And hey, buddy, I don't know if you've seen me in Abu Dhabi. I was with Dean Thomas, like a table.
Yeah, I saw you guys over there.
Man, I wanted to address that because I seen you. And everybody's got the mask on. We were outside. Yeah. And I wanted to say hello. You were with a bunch of people. You're eating. So I didn't want you to think I was being rude. I want to go, hey, Khalil, remember me from the show?
Yeah,
and
also.
Get out of here. I didn't know if you knew.
No, I saw you. I was going to say something to you as well. But, like, to be honest, for me, like, fight week, I'm very, like, standoffish.
That's another thing. That's
you know, like, I'm very, like, just, like, I have, like, kind of, like, a guard up. Like, there's a lot of guys. Everybody's, like. Everybody has weird energy, you know, so I just try to stay like in my own zone.
Now I'm happy I didn't say hello.
Yeah.
I'd be like, hey, Khalil. What happened to the hippie? Where's the hippie? No, I'm only kidding. Khalil. Listen, man. should have ended this thing a couple of minutes ago. I'm only kidding. Khalil, you're the best, buddy.
Yeah, we love watching you.
Thanks, guys.
I make the right call, not saying hello.
But now he would have talked to you. He would have said hello to you, but that's probably why he didn't go out of the way to approach you. I'm sure he would have said hi to you.
Jimmy, why do I got to be so silly? So listen, anyway, Overeem, he said he could have a hard time recovering after that first punch. But I'm getting back to the notes. Da 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 ba ba.
I mean, he'll be back to fight, but I mean, that was a damn good look for Volkov.
Jimmy, sometimes I say interesting and sometimes I say interesting.
Yes.
Correct me. Which one's the better? Which one's correct?
Neither of them applied to that last statement.
Why do you got to be an asshole? Why can't you just help me out with my English? Oh, shit. Sometimes I'll say interesting. Other guys, times I go interesting.
Yeah, I honestly do the same thing, and I don't have an answer.
I need either one. Then nobody's listening. Am I wrong? Yeah, I'm embarrassed.
They're both okay. Interesting, interesting. I'd say interesting more. Honestly, I say interesting. All right. Very interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah, I guess I never noticed it. Interesting.
All right. Something I didn't have to bring up on the show.
That's a fair question. By the way, Matt, who is Cyril? Who is Cyril Gane is fighting? Who is he fighting again? Let me see.
What'd you say?
Cyril Gane. Who is he fighting?
He's fighting
Rosenstreich. That's right. Ooh, do I want to see that fight? When exactly is that?
That's coming.
I can't even pretend I remember who's fighting who when. I mean, it's fucking insane. 27th February. Thank you. So the end of the month. God, there's so many good fights coming up.
Jimmy, there is. And I sometimes take video of me. Let me do it right now on air. Because when I watch the fight, something sticks out. And then I forget. I'm like, I knew there was something I wanted to say. And okay. I forget. So let me think. Where is my video?
Either she didn't get the arm lock because she was not controlling the wrist. The thumb was able to go side to side.
That's right. That's right.
The thumb.
That's with McCann. That was with Meatball.
Yes.
Yes. Listen, she got an arm lock on the jiu-jitsu girl.
Yep, she did.
And the jiu-jitsu girl.
Was that in the first round? Was that the first round, if I remember right?
I'm pretty sure it was the second round, but I'm not positive. Okay. I probably just had it on my screen right there. But she had her in an arm lock from guard. She had her dead to rights, but she had it like this. She wasn't controlling the wrist. So you saw the you saw the hand go like this. So if the thumb is going to the side, my elbow's going to the side now. Other side, it's the other. When it's thumbs up, it's thumbs up. But break that thing, Jimmy. You understand?
Didn't she try to tuck it?
Control the hand. What? Tuck this. What are
you saying? Didn't she try to tuck the arm and it just didn't go and the other girl just got out of it?
No, I don't believe so. She had her by the wrist, but she wasn't controlling the wrist. You have to control it when the thumb is going straight to the ceiling. You follow me?
Right, okay.
You don't follow.
I do.
Did I ever show you a goddamn arm lock?
I thought, I was surprised to see a 30-27 for Lara Procopio. I didn't think McCann lost that fight 30-27. I was surprised that one of the judges saw it that way.
The rounds were close, but she kept getting the takedowns, Jimmy.
Yeah.
You know, the closest thing that Molly did was get that arm lock, and she could have finished the fight with that arm lock. That's a laces out moment. Understand?
Yeah.
That's a rough one. But let's talk a little bit more. I mean, hey, man, Clay Guida versus Mike Johnson. Couple old school dudes throwing down. I like that. And you know, Clay won and Clay did phenomenal.
Yep.
You know, he took his back at the end. He was timing his takedowns. But man, Michael Johnson always looks just good enough to lose.
Always looks good. Yep.
Like he looks really good sometimes. Every time I see him fighting, oh, this might be the new like best version ever of Michael Johnson. Right. And then something goes south. It's such a shame. Like, I mean, listen, he's fighting top notch guys, but
right.
See, but man, he's right there. He always looks like he's just right there of just having his night.
Yeah, no, I know. And I was happy for Clay Guida, though. I mean, he's just the amount of energy that guy has and the cardio he has. And he just seems like a very difficult guy to fight. His fucking hair is all over the place. It's just, you know, he's grinding on you. He just seems like a really, he's always like at a 90 degree angle going for a takedown against the cage. He seems like an exhausting guy to have to deal with.
Cool, dude. That guy's running around the cage after. Yeah. He's a caveman. He's fucking great. Also, hey man, you got it right. But Beneil Darush versus Diego Ferreira, which versus a split decision.
Split decision. I was surprised.
Should have got the decision.
Agree. Totally. I agree.
Unanimous. But Diego was in the fight, and it was a fun fight. Beneil is just really. Every time you see him, he's looking better, looking more confident.
Yep.
Looking more polished, and he's just looking like the total package, man. From jiu-jitsu to his wrestling to his striking, which is now you can't really just call the guy a more of a grappler. I mean, his striking's top notch.
Yeah,
I mean, look at that. I was impressed. It got fight of the night for a reason.
Yeah, it really did. But they had predicted that it might. I think that was just the matchmakers did a great job with that. And also, I mean, it was basically you and I got our asses kicked as far as our picks are concerned. You got that one wrong. I got the next one wrong, which was Pantoja against Cop, Manal Cop, who looked good in his debut. But again, and they kept talking about how he didn't seem to be pulling the trigger. He's extremely accurate, but he just wasn't active enough.
Yeah, listen, man. He'll learn from that and say, why wasn't I? And next time, hopefully he will. You understand? Sometimes you need you get hit. You have a fight like that. It's like a cattle prod. It's like, all right, man, I gotta stop. What am I holding back for? How about next fight? Fuck that. Yeah. Also, fight number six. Which one is that?
Ba-da-ba-ba. Well, there was a couple of changes. I mean, Clay Guida, Michael Johnson was not supposed to be on the main card.
We spoke about that. Was that Marquez?
Ascara, I think for some reason, was he not medically cleared to fight? I mean, Cody Stamen got his fight canceled.
Yeah, something went south. I felt really bad for Cody because he seems so.
Yeah. He was ready. Yeah,
but you know he'll have another day. And
sure,
his opponent will you know be healthy. I don't know what went wrong with that. But Ascar. But also, what is it, Danilo Marquez? Am I saying Marquez? Right. He defeated Mike Rodriguez.
He did. Yeah.
And I'll tell you right now, I like his jiu-jitsu a lot.
Yeah.
A lot, Jimmy. I love good jiu-jitsu. You know I'm a jiu-jitsu man.
You are. You love it. You appreciate it.
Granted, I have heavy hands. Hey, it's a gift from God. But that's not what I am not.
Knocked out Frank Trigg.
Jimmy, stop it now. You know how I get. Listen, my point is this. I love jiu-jitsu. So when I see high-level jiu-jitsu in there, it just makes me so happy. You know what I mean? Because then I go and that night I go and I'll teach a head and arm choke. All right. What else do we got, my friend?
Well, I guess before we close, we should say was there anything else I wanted to say? Last thing. Sanhagen, Corey Sanhagen. Oh, I texted this to you. Besides looking so great and it looked like, I mean, the subtle move of Frankie getting ready to shoot for a takedown, him just raising that knee, which the height difference definitely helps there.
Side to side first, though. He was side to side. He timed that thing so
beautifully. But he didn't. He looked bothered by something after the fight.
No, Jimmy.
And he looked.
He looks like a man on a mission is what he looks like, Jimmy. That's the look. Haven't you ever seen a man? You look at that look every day. Look at this look, right?
Okay, let me see the look. That looks like male hustler in 1971 on 42nd Street. Like you're a midnight cowboy with that face.
Jimmy, that was not the look that he looked.
No, okay. But what's the look?
He looks like he's not going to just celebrate that win. He wants the title. It makes things more exciting. He's excited. He look at it. Look what he's done since. Oh my goodness, man. First that head kick with Marlon Moraes.
Yeah.
And Frankie. Yeah, you know what sucks about, I mean, for Frankie, what really stinks is he looked physically in fucking phenomenal shape.
Sure. Even,
you know what I mean? So it just sucks when something like that happens so early in a fight where, you know.
I don't mean, Matt, when I say looked bothered, I don't mean necessarily in the cage. I meant during the post-fight interviews. Like, it just seemed like somebody had said something or he was pissed off about something. And I could be totally wrong, but it just struck me when he was doing a post-fight interview for some reason. Like, something was annoying him, and I don't know what. And I could be totally wrong.
I think it's more of there's going to be a chip on his shoulder until he gets a shot at the title.
You might be right.
It's sometimes it's good. Jimmy, you know why I never smoked weed when I was fighting? Really?
Because you preferred heroin.
Jimmy, no.
No, that's not right. I apologize.
Never did drugs. Stop.
Incorrect. I'm sorry.
The reason why, hold on, remind me later. Okay, I'm back. Dude, I lost you now. Imagine me losing you during this fucking.
I'm right here.
You see me?
I do.
Sorry. I don't see you at all, but I'm still going to continue with my story.
Okay.
Because when you smoke weed, you're all laid back and hey, man, nothing bothers you. You heard even Khalil Roundtree, who's a little hippie-ish when he's not fighting, very zen-like, even the week of the fight, you know, he's very irritable. Like, you could be like that because you got to have to have your mind in a certain place, I feel, and it's not a happy-go-lucky. Like, you wouldn't want, Jimmy, this is not your good, huggable buddy, Matt. When I was making 155, and
right.
You don't want to be around me back then.
No.
Getting ready for a fight. You don't want me eating broccoli, not fucking running on a treadmill. I was a miserable. I got a little miserable.
Yeah, of course.
I got nasty to get ready to fight in the cage.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, listen to me. You know how much I love you.
Yes, pal. I'm love doing this. We'll be back next week. I mean, on Wednesday. Sorry. Today's Monday. We'll be back Wednesday.
I just like that. It's easier for me now because I can't see you until my thing went out. I like the way I said, you know, I love you. You go, yeah, I love doing this.
I should have said I love you too, but yeah. No, I do though.
Well, I mean, does it really mean anything now that I kind of like?
Sure.
I put you in a corner basically to say it or not? Or
no, but you didn't. I recognized that when I did it. There was no reason for it. We will preview the fights on Wednesday. Usman Gilbert Burns for the welterweight belt. I cannot fucking wait for that fight.
Did I lose you?
No, I'm right here, buddy.
Hi, Jimmy. I'm listening, Jimmy. So many good fights coming up. I don't know who's on the next show. And either do you.
No, I don't.
But I'm dying to find out. What else do you want to plug?
Nothing. If you're a Chip fan or if you want a cameo for Valentine's Day, go to cameo.com/ChipChipperson or Jim Norton. Either one of us will be happy to do one for you. But do not go to the app. I am not on the app.
I'm on the app. Go ahead.
No, I'm not.
Go ahead. Finish. Go ahead. And only where?
Or you can go to how about youtube.com/ChipChipperson. The new podcast is up with Colin Quinn and Anthony, and it's a very funny one. And I look forward to having you on.
Oh, I can't. Well, listen to me. So when you're on YouTube, check out the latest Dana White Looking for a Fight.
That's right.
And go watch old episodes and laugh and laugh. And Jimmy, I will talk to you soon. And to the Unfiltered Army, we appreciate you.
This is very much.
All right, brother. You hang up because I can't see what's going on here.
All right. Goodbye, guys.
See you. Bye, everybody.